Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The COVID-19 infection rate on the Navajo Nation reservation has outpaced most other areas of the country, including New York City. Nearly 8,000 people have tested positive and 382 people have died. Dr. Karen Williams is a hospitalist physician at Tsehutso Medical Center in Fort Defiance, Arizona, one of the facilities within the Navajo Nation. On Friday, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board hosted a webinar featuring Dr. Williams as she visited Rapid City this week. She talked with SDPB's Jackie Hendry about the ways the pandemic impacts Indigenous people throughout the country and her concerns for tribal communities in South Dakota.
As a frontline physician taking care of patients in the hospital on the Navajo Reservation, initially there were small numbers of patients coming in, and I see the patients that usually need oxygen, possibly having high fevers, abnormal chest x-ray or CT findings, demonstrating pneumonia, patients that we could not send home because they could potentially worsen. Initially, we thought, well, you know, they're coming in small numbers. Let's just hope it stays this way. But as time went by, it seemed to exponentially worsen. There were more and more patients coming in to the point where we were getting hit like a tsunami of patients. We would call it surging or waves of patients coming in and coming in very sick. It was very frightening. It was frightening because some of these patients were dying on us. And although we had a really good planning team, we realized that our healthcare system could become overwhelmed. I'm really honored to be working at this particular facility because they were able to recruit more respiratory therapists, more nurses with intensive care training. We already had doctors who were trained on how to manage ventilators. I am one of those doctors. So we were prepared, but we were told we would need to back up other doctors if one of the doctors ended up getting infected with the virus. So I'm lucky enough to be in an environment where we were prepared. I cannot imagine this same scenario happening in another healthcare facility where they were not prepared, where they could not find the specialized doctors who know how to do ventilator management or intensive care nurses or respiratory therapists, all the things that we need to do to save somebody's life. Because the COVID-19 virus is really potent and a fraction of the patients are getting severely sick and some of them are dying. And we are doing the best we can. Many doctors throughout the country have evolved their management, but some doctors still have not experienced caring for any of these patients. The ones that are experienced, we've done our best to share our knowledge with the new doctors coming in to make sure that our patients have the best chance of survival.
What are some of the maybe similarities and differences that you saw over the past few days that you've been able to visit Rapid City and kind of the surrounding area, the similarities and differences from the Native communities here in South Dakota and what you're seeing where you are?
I am located on the Navajo Reservation and not far from a town called Gallup, New Mexico. I honestly feel safer over there than I do walking around the town of Rapid City, South Dakota. And I'll explain why. Over there, everybody wears a mask. It's very, very rare that you see somebody without a mask. And usually when you see somebody without a mask, it's somebody traveling, coming off the highway, coming into the town. And you could tell they're not from there. So everyone is using extreme caution in those communities. And even when you stand outside the grocery store, they're putting masking tape on the ground, some sort of marker, keeping people 6 feet apart. And when you enter the grocery store, they're spraying the carts, they're sanitizing them, and they're monitoring how many people enter, how many people leave. And they only let you walk down the aisle 6 feet apart from somebody else. So they have arrows. And here, I've been in the grocery store in Rapid City. I don't see any of that. I don't see anybody wearing a mask. Here you drive through town and you see hundreds of people sitting outside on the patio eating. Everyone is congregated. Nobody's wearing a mask. And it's especially concerning because Trump had his event in the sacred mountains here, what they call Mount Rushmore. And thousands of people came in from out of the area, UC Texas license plates, Minnesota, from all over. And none of these people are wearing masks. Every so often I might see somebody with a mask, but I'm concerned about the impacts it is going to have on the people here in this community. And I'm concerned about how it can spread into the local reservations. We already know that 50% of the people who are diagnosed with COVID-19 in Rapid City are natives. So you can imagine just one person coming and taking the COVID infection out into the reservation communities. I'm concerned it's going to spread like crazy, but I am really happy to know that the nearby Oglala Lakota community has implemented the use of checkpoints. They are screening people. They are taking this seriously. So really what it is social awareness and taking precautions. However, some of this is going to be unavoidable because of the thousands of people that came into this town. And some of them, I am concerned, have brought COVID to this area. We already know that one of the politicians, his partner was positive for COVID, and she was in Rapid City. So this is extremely concerning.
Somewhat related to that, on Friday, you talked a bit about health issues like diabetes and other things that disproportionately impact Native peoples and that are also add risk to a more severe infection from COVID. And I know there's a lot of history and reasonings behind why Native peoples are so impacted by those illnesses, but I wonder if you can just speak a little bit to why Native people are being so disproportionately impacted by being in these more high-risk categories.
I believe there's a combination of things. It's a pre-existing health condition, but also the environment that one lives in. And of course, having these health disparities where Native people have a lot of diabetes, have a lot of obesity. For example, we already know that the immune system will not be as strong if they have one of these conditions. It cannot mount the response that it should when the virus does enter the body. We also know that these conditions cause inflammation in different parts of the body. And COVID does that as well. COVID not only enters, multiplies itself, wreaks havoc, and likes to focus in different organs, such as the lungs primarily, sometimes the heart, sometimes the spleen. It sets off a cytokine storm where the immune system tries to defend itself and ends up killing parts of itself. Our own immune system and its goal to defend itself from the virus is creating what we call the severe inflammation, the cytokine storm. And if you add that to somebody with pre-existing obesity or diabetes, for example, they already have inflammation in their body. Say they're an uncontrolled diabetic and they have neuropathy. They have damage to their nervous system where they have numbness in their feet. Or say they have kidney disease. They have kidney damage related to the diabetes. And then you add the viral infection, which results in severe inflammation. So it just causes more inflammation. So I believe that's why these particular patients are more at risk.
What is some of your advice for folks as far as protecting elders and other people in their community as the pandemic continues?
My advice is it's extremely, extremely important for family members to take this seriously. And in Native communities, it's the elder, it's the older family member who needs to let everybody know the rules about social distancing, the rules about wearing a mask, the rules about being careful who you're around when you go into your grocery store, for example, keeping your distance, washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds, using alcohol-based hand sanitizer, and not bringing infection back to the house.
I'm not sure how much of this is proper to share, so we don't have to go into too much detail, but I know on Friday there was some discussion about incorporating traditional medicine for folks being treated in the hospital and things like that. Is there anything that you're able to share generally about the importance of incorporating traditional medicine for Native patients?
Yes. For people who do have the COVID-19 virus, many elders from different Native communities, including my own in California, have advised that they go back to their herbal medicines. Out here, the Lakota have their herbal medicines that has been recommended. In my community, we have our own as well. And we already know that many of these herbal medicines have natural vitamin C in them, have antioxidants to keep the immune system strong to fight off the infection. On the Navajo reservation where I work at, we have the honor of having a traditional Indian health program. We have traditional Indian health practitioners, medicine men, who put on events outside of the hospital to support the hospital staff that have to work on the front lines. They're telling us, you know, drink this sage tea, for example, it will help you. And they're also setting up services in the hogan outside the hospital and setting up a teepee in front of the hospital where we can smudge ourselves with cedar in a way to protect us. We have had some patients ask for these teas, and our hospital does allow family members to bring it to the hospital so we can give it to these patients if they want it. And so it is something very important and very unique, I think, to a lot of Native communities. But we've seen it out of China too, where in the media, they were talking about drinking their special teas from their region of China, for example, and the importance of that. I have a coworker who has lived on the Navajo reservation for more than 20 years. She is not Navajo, but she is a healthcare practitioner, and she actually is knowledgeable about you know, the Native community and the herbal medicines. She has incorporated the use of elderberry, and so she is actually giving it to people, and people are making these elderberry tea concoctions to give themselves vitamin C and to protect their immune system, because the COVID infection is so widespread in the area.
Dr. Williams, that already covers all of the questions that I knew for sure I wanted to ask, but I want to be sure to really open the floor to you for really anything that you want to share about your last few days visiting folks in South Dakota, or anything else that you think people should know about the work you do and the pandemic as it relates to Native people, or anything else that you want to close with.
Yes, thank you. It's an honor to be in the Rapid City, South Dakota area, and an honor to have friends and loved ones who live out in this area, particularly from the Oglala Lakota Nation. I am aware that there has been a lot of concern about COVID-19 and a lot of education. And I believe it's important for people to continue to learn more about how to protect themselves in terms of wearing masks, social distancing, at least 2 arms length apart from another person, which is 6 feet. But I don't quite see enough people doing it as they should be, because all it takes is just one person to come into your household and the infection can spread. So although we know we sometimes don't wash our cups as good as we should, it's very important, because if somebody drinks out of the cup in your household, if you don't wash it well enough with hot water and soap, the infection can still be there and it can spread in your household. So just common sense things like that, you know, cleaning doorknobs in your household, maybe spraying your shoes with Lysol or taking your shoes off before you enter the household, I believe are very important. I am very concerned that there's limited resources in terms of public health tracing in the Rapid City area, because we know that at least 50% of the people diagnosed with the COVID infection are natives from this region, and some of them have family members on the reservation that they will be returning to. So I'm concerned that it's going to continue to spread, but we need our health department in this area to put more resources into helping prevent the spread of the infection. And it's not only the state health department, but it's the tribal organizations that have access to these CARES funds need to be more proactive about going out into the community and using the model of communities such as Navajo Nation that have been successful in doing this extensive public health tracing and testing, appropriate testing with appropriate healthcare provider follow-up to help people who are diagnosed with the COVID-19 infection. So I'm not seeing enough of that out here. I'm not seeing enough testing resources. I'm not seeing enough public health tracing. I'm not seeing enough support for the people who are told to go home and quarantine or to go to the civic center or the hotel to quarantine. They need food. People need to bring them food and water. People need to bring them cleaning supplies. People need to, public health people need to be in communication with the doctors in the area who are most knowledgeable about COVID-19 and most up to date on the CDC's guidelines. So I see some progress, but I'm concerned that they're not doing enough. And especially after this weekend, after thousands of people came into this town from out of state and did not take precautions, I'm concerned it is going to spread like a wildfire.
That's Dr. Karen Williams. She's a hospitalist physician at Sehutso Medical Center in Fort Defiance, Arizona, one of the facilities within the Navajo Nation. She was speaking there to STPB's Jackie Hendry.